pride is the quintessential human sin. We think we can be our own gods and we're prideful of everything we think, Genesis 3:5 says. And we do that which is right in our own eyes. That's largely the way the whole world's going.
Pastor Brett Metters says the deceit of pride is a clear picture of what's ahead prophetically.
This is what we're seeing, and these are evidences of the last days. Remember how much pride is in the days of Noah? The days of Lot are marked with pride on all levels.
Though the sin of pride may factor into much of the sinful behavior today, coming up, Pastor Brett Metters reflects on what Scripture has to say about the role pride has in shaping end times prophecy as well. On today's Word Prophecy Update Edition, we'll examine the Old Testament days of Noah, Lot, and others to get a telltale glimpse of what to expect in future end times. And we're so glad you've joined us for this special Prophecy Update Edition on today's Word. Our teacher, Brett Metters, is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church near Portland, Oregon. Pastor Brett, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Kurt.
Brett, we're going to take the next 2 days to step away from our normal study in the book of John and look at some things that have been going on in the world today and what you call a prophecy update. Can you tell me a little more about why you do these updates in prophecy?
You bet. You know, the Bible tells us over and over that we are as Christians to be watching, ready, vigilant, sober. Jesus told us that. Paul talked about that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. We're supposed to be, in the Old Testament, like the watchman on the wall is the phrasing there. And the idea is we don't know the day or the hour of the return of the Lord or the rapture of the church, but Paul says, you will know the times and the seasons. And another thing that the Bible reminds us is that Israel is God's timepiece. So when we talk about Bible prophecy, we talk about what the Bible says that the last days will look like. And then we just kind of see, boy, what are the days that we're living in look like? Because we're told also not to be ignorant concerning God's plan for Israel and his purpose. So our prophecy updates are not me prophesying what's going to happen, but we're looking at what the Bible already has prophesied about the end times and just comparing that with the days we're living. So it really is great to look at the geopolitics really with a biblical Christian worldview as it relates to the days we're living.
Thank you, Brett. And to begin our prophecy update today, which Brett preached just a few weeks ago, here again is our Bible teacher, Pastor Brett Metters, in a message titled Prideful Month.
There's many signs of the times, including Israel. If you really look at the story of Israel, it's a story of pride, both for the Jews, but also for the enemies of the Jews. And it's who's going to be the biggest prideful people. And that's going to lead ultimately to the second coming of Christ. So pride is really at the epicenter of everything. And I think that the Bible, if you give it a thought, the Bible kind of reminds us of that over and over and over again. Let me have you start with me in Luke. Would you turn to Luke chapter 17? As we kind of approach this issue of prideful month, we'll get into some of the things that are going on in current events. But I want to always start with Scripture, as the Scriptures give us such a foundation, a solid foundation. It says this in Luke 17, 26. Jesus gives us two illustrations. The days of Noah and the days of Lot. Let's go into the ESV. Some of you guys already had this, but I like the ease of the language here. It says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying, being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot came out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. I've highlighted the days of Noah there because that's really what I want to start with. The biblical account of Noah really begins in Genesis chapter 6, approximately 1,600 years after creation of Adam and Eve. The earth's population by that time in 1,600 years had exploded. What were some of the days of Noah like? Well, if you go back to Genesis 6, you realize population explosion plus violence. The Bible tells us there in Genesis 6 that violence was covering the land. Do we see violence in the world today? this last month was heartbreaking, all the violence toward Jews, let alone just violence all over the world and places in Africa where Christians are being killed by the thousands today. We live in violent times. But, you know, as the earth population exploded in number, it also exploded with evil. And corruption is a kind of a key word. In fact, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But when you look at our culture, are we like the days of Noah in this particular one? You know, we've become so inventive of evil things. I mean, you know, what were they doing in the days of, well, they were chiseling out of stone idols and wood and gold and silver and making sort of crude statues of multi-breasted goddesses and stuff like that. There were sort of fertility, sexual, they were inventing things like that. Well, what are we inventing? Things like a little thing called the internet and pornography. It seems like our culture is just obsessed with evil. That's just the days we're living. And I wonder if even what we've invented would make the days of Noah blush. And so we live in this culture, and I think we've surpassed, if you would, the days of Noah. Well, how could you say that? Well, I think it has to do with the long suffering of the Lord. God is patient. And this time he's not going to destroy the earth with water, but it's going to be with fire. And this time the earth is going to go through a much more dastardly, you know, punishment because of its finality, and the kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to come. That didn't happen in the flood. The flood, just Noah and his family, 8 souls were saved. But the next time around where God judges, Jesus said, listen, when I'm coming, our text here in, you know, Luke 17, it says, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. That is what's the day of the Son of Man? The day of the Lord that we're talking about there. So the biblical account, Genesis 6, verse 5, starts to tell us a bit about that. Also Genesis 6, verse 11, it says, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So evil was reproducing, and it overtook the world. And a very merciful, loving God said, I've got to deal with this. It's interesting that God allowed Noah nearly 100 years to build the ark, but all the while preaching to those masses for repentance. I think that's just the way of the Lord. The Lord is merciful, long-suffering to us, and it makes you wonder how many more years is the Lord going to be patient. It reminds me of 1 Peter 3:20, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Scripture seems to imply that Noah preached to the people of that time about which was coming. And you also see that Hebrews 11, 7 tells us about Noah, and there's an implication there. So they did not believe Noah. They were content with their wickedness. And guess what? Their hearts were hard. Their ears were dull. They weren't repentant at all. And they just kept doing their dastardly deeds and thought, we're going to get away with it like we always have. And they were not expecting anything to happen. That's exactly like the days of Noah, and that's exactly like the days today. You know, you say, well, Brett, we're aware of that, but you know, the Bible says you Christians, 1 Thessalonians 5, will not be taken like a thief in the night. Why? Because we already know. We're children of the light, not of the night. We're children of the day. So we will know, but so that is something that's a little, we're like the Noah in the story, if we're comparing the days of Noah. The Christian church who knows about this, sadly, a lot of the Christian church knows nothing about this because they're afraid to talk about Bible prophecy. So he warned us to be ready because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. You know, 2 Timothy 3:1 gives us a clear picture of the state of the world before Jesus comes. And I think it's most likely describing like the world of Noah. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasures more than lovers of God. This is a good description of Noah's day, but it's also like Paul is telling Timothy, it's going to be the same description for modern day second coming of Christ. So it's becoming increasingly obvious that to understand what the world was like in the days of Noah, we need only to watch the evening news. We're seeing all of this stuff right here. This is the evening news, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. On the front of the news, pride. It's our Pride Month, and we're seeing all kinds of pride things. People boasting and covetous, blaspheming. We see that all over the news today. Children being disobedient, unthankful, unholy. Is that happening in the world? Yes, without natural affection. Speaking of homosexuality and other forms of sexual deviance. People that are angry, is that word fierce there. And, you know, despising those that are good. You know, it's interesting how we're seeing these girls in high school track, you know, stand up and say, men shouldn't compete in women's sports, which I 100% agree. And by the way, those girls that were on Fox News this last week from Oregon, Athey Crickers, these are girls that I'm so proud of those girls. Man, they're amazing girls, by the way. I wish the news could adequately give them time because they're such next level girls. I just think they're so amazing. So I'm cheering them on. But there's a segment of the population that's gonna hate them. Why? Because they're the ones that are doing good. But that's the days we live. Just watch the news and you'll see, wow, we must be living in the last days. We started with Luke 17, 26 through 29. And we've kind of looked at the days of Noah. But the second example Jesus gives is the days of Lot. There in verse 28, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting, and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, one of the things, by the way, that I love is expositional constancy. What's that? Well, if you're gonna talk about types in the Bible, you kind of need to stick with the types throughout the Bible. Some people like to cross-pollinate their types and it doesn't work. And you have to be careful with that. What do I mean by expositional constancy? Well, when I'm talking about pre-trib, like some of you might not even agree with me on pre-trib. And by the way, it should be a loving in-house debate. It shouldn't be like a lot of these post-tribbers now are saying that guys like me who believes in a pre-trib rapture were heretics. And like from Satan and Brett's demonic. That's kind of a new thing. In the last 10 years, there's a group of people trying to demonize people that just have a little disagreement on eschatology, which is ridiculous. It's not an essential doctrine of the Christian faith that puts me outside of faith, if you disagree with me. I firmly believe in a pre-trib rapture, and I've got a bazillion reasons. I've done whole teachings and whole prophecy updates on why I'm a pre-trib person. But one of those has to do with this expositional constancy. I love the stories of the Old Testament. Remember, they're pictures of New Testament truths. And one of the things I love about this, before the wrath of God was poured upon Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot, what did he wait for before he does that? He waited for Lot and his family to be removed from the city. Why? Because the Lord does not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Remember the whole argument with Abraham? Well, Lord, peradventure there's 1,000 righteous in Sodom. Would you destroy 1,000? No, I would not. And he went all the way down. But now we know Lot and his family, they were the only ones saved out of Sodom. And they were taken out before wrath. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5 says, we as Christians are not appointed unto wrath. What's the tribulation period called in the Bible? The time of the wrath of the Lamb. We are not appointed unto wrath. Read first, remember, expositional constancy. So God removed them out of the wrath before the wrath came down. The people that say, we as Christians are gonna go through the wrath of God. That's not consonant with God's nature, nor is it consistent with the word of God. So that's just one. Well, Brett, what about the flood? Noah had to go through the flood. That's what they'll say. Question, before the flood came down, was there somebody taken up and raptured before that happened? In the previous chapter, in Genesis chapter 5, a little dude named Enoch who walked with God and pleased God. And what happened? He was not. He was taken up. He never saw death, and he was literally raptured. Call it whatever you want. He was taken up to heaven because he walked with God and he pleased God. So, yeah, Noah, I think for expositional constancy's sake, if you want to be really technical, Noah is a picture of what in the tribulation, anybody? The Jewish people, because the Jews are going to be persecuted terribly, but the Lord will bring them through that and bless them and even protect them in the wilderness. That's a whole another thing. But in the days of Lot, so what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? Anybody know? Well, they were Sodomites, man, and homosexuals. Well, were they that? Yes, they were. But is that the reason that the wrath came down? I'm gonna say it is a reason, that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll show you what I mean there. But I'm not sure it's the reason. Let's go over that real quick. The Lord informed Abraham in Genesis 18:20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. So first of all, we know that that's the first thing we hear in the Bible about Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin was grievous before God. Jude, verse 7, weighs in on the topic and says this, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. So sexual immorality is fornication. And going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So again, while homosexuality was not the only sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, it does appear to be one of the reasons for the destruction of those cities. So don't just abandon that. There's a temptation to try to soften the whole God is against homosexuality. It's a sin that is an abomination before God. And so people will try to soften that and say, well, it wasn't homosexuality that was the sin of Sodom. No, it was. It was part of the fornication that's mentioned by Jude here in verse 7. Now, Ezekiel 16 verses 49 and 50 might be the most definitive when it comes to what were the sins. Because the reason we're going over this, because Jesus said, like in the days of Lot, that's what it's gonna be like before the second coming of Christ. So that's why we're trying to parse this out a little bit. Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50 says this, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride. That's where those of you that all said pride, you're right. This is where Ezekiel kind of boils it down. She and her daughters had pride, she being a sort of a idiom of a nation or people group. Like when we talk about, you know, a nation as a her, that's the she and her daughters. It's not that it was just women that were involved with this. It was the whole group, men and women, had pride, excess food, so they were gluttons, and prosperous ease. So pride is a list of things here. I hope you're seeing this. It's not just pride, but notice it says, but while they had all that pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, it says, but did not aid the poor and needy. So they were not only prideful and, you know, comfortable themselves and at ease, but they could care less about the homeless, the starving, and those that were hurting. And they were also, verse 50, haughty, which is kind of like pride, but not exactly the same thing. It says they were haughty and did an abomination before me, which most scholars believe that's talking about not just homosexual sex, but perhaps even worse things, bestiality, polygamy, and all the other things that you can imagine, which you don't really want to try to do, but it's kind of like our culture. We are like those days of Lot because we've got the haughtiness and we've checked the box of pride, but sadly, we also checked the box of the needy being totally, we could care less. You know, with our pride parades on the streets of Portland, lining those streets are these tents of people living unsheltered with syringes and needles and fentanyl and all of that stuff. But homeless people are dying in unprecedented numbers. Some 456 people died in homeless camps in Multnomah County in 2023. Haven't heard the number for 24 yet. And it's an increase of 477% since 2017. 477% increase of death of the homeless people, and nobody seems to care. The whole thing is a giant mess. And what's that a result of? I believe it's a result of the Bible. James chapter 4, verse 6, for example, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And man, Portland's been weird, but it also has been very prideful. Pride is the quintessential human sin. We think we can be our own gods and we're prideful of everything we think, Genesis 3:5 says. And we do that which is right in our own eyes. That's what we're prideful about, Judges 21:25 declares. That's largely the way the whole world's going. The pride movement, Pride Month, June, lends to commend itself for having the truth, even though they're believing a lie. This is what we're seeing, and these are evidences of the last days. Remember how much pride is in the days of Noah? The days of Lot are marked with pride on all levels. 2 Corinthians talks about how they think they're the ones with the truth, but they're really just believing a lie. 2 Corinthians 10:12. It says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. That's a nice cleaned up version which says they're without understanding. Anybody know what the Greek says? They're stupid. That's really what it says. Why are they stupid? Because they're thinking, we're really good, look at us. But the Bible says, yeah, the little mistake you're making is you're comparing yourselves to each other and you're corrupt and evil and you think more highly of yourself than you should and you don't even know how bad you really are because you're comparing yourself. That's not so bright to do it that way. This is what the Bible says and also measurement of the last days that we're living. John chapter 3, Jesus said in John 3, 19 through 21, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light that his deeds may be made manifest or made known that they are wrought in God. This will happen, by the way, this ultimate fulfillment of this verse will happen ultimately during the tribulation, if you didn't know that. But notice it says, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Have you ever wondered why people like darkness and they celebrate, you know, what makes, have you ever wondered, I marvel and I still wonder, what am I missing? Because these sort of drag queen shows, what do people see in those things? It's this right here being fulfilled that Jesus said, men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. It makes them feel better about themselves when they realize that's really fun to watch and at least I'm not one of them, but it's kind of entertaining. But those who are enjoying those, what did Romans chapter 1 say? Those who have pleasure in them are guilty of the same thing. But not only that, the second component here in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The world doesn't want to come into the light because they know their sins are bad. This is the problem. People are prideful and they say, I'm a good person and humanity is basically good. But in the last days, this will be even more rampant. People won't want to come into the light because their deeds are going to be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot, and they're going to be filled with pride. And the sin of pride, which was the number one sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, which was also homosexuality and all that, we're just seeing Sodom and Gomorrah revisited today. CBS News 2025, pride celebrations go ahead despite corporate exodus. But organizers say it won't be easy. This article says the architects of pride celebrations across the United States met six-figure challenges this year owing to a corporate exodus in the spring that diminished their sponsorship funds, which they said would jeopardize the future programming of their pride parades and all that stuff. Organizers are contending with serious budget shortfalls as Pride Month begins this June, and several reported 20 to 30% less corporate support than in the past years. Now, some of us might say, that's good. You know, you can't, you know, with a fire hose, cram this down people's throats. And that's what they did. And so Target and others are backing off. And you say, praise the Lord. Well, we could say that. But one of the ways I tend to look at these pendulum swings, good, bad, or ugly, it's really talked about in the Bible. Does anybody know the analogy that the Bible uses? Birth pains. Remember birth pains? They come like contractions and they get really intense and then they'll go away a little bit. Then they get more intense and the frequency and the intensity will, as a baby's coming. And by the way, not only did Jesus use that analogy, Paul used the same analogy. It'd be like a woman in childbirth. That's the nature of the last days, the whole end time scenario. So when I see this, I think, oh, this is like a contraction maybe. We'll see how big it is. We'll see how frequent, and we'll see how we start getting it crammed down our throats again in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. That gives us a sense of when the rapture of the church is going to happen and the second coming of Christ. So to me, I get excited either way.
Pastor Brett Metter, finding evidence of the coming end times, not only in the Old and New Testament scripture, but in the prevailing sin of pride we witness today. More of this prophecy update study to come next time as well on Today's Word. But first, our teacher, Brett Metter, is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just outside of Portland, Oregon. Each day, Pastor Brett will bring you a verse-by-verse study of God's Word. If you've missed any portion of our time today, you can find all of his messages online at todayswordradio.com. And if you'd like more information about Pastor Brett Metter and Athey Creek Church, just go to todayswordradio.com. On our website, you can also make a comment or share a prayer request. Again, todayswordradio.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you can be back as we hear the second half of this prophecy update called Prideful Month. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in Westland, Oregon.